You listen to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense. Stay within your limits. Go to GameSense.AB.ca.
425, Strutty, how are you doing?
Great. How are you making out, buddy?
Hey, I'm good. So at the Jason Strudywick D-Camp, when you're teaching defensemen how to defend a point shot, would you be using the video of Evan Bouchard last night on what not to do?
Oh, boy, that was not a good look. So as a D-man, you have two choices in front of your net. A, you front the shot. So that means you step in front of the offensive player with the intention of blocking the shot, knocking it down. So there's no issue. And a lot of the New Jersey Devils used to do that a lot under Jacques Lemaire. Okay, so he didn't do that. Number two, you make sure you maintain inside position. So you're between your man and the net. So that when there is a shot and there's a rebound, you can now turn and create some space between your goalie and yourself in which you can handle the rebound or he can swallow up the rebound. Well, Evan, you know, he played it like I might see at, you know, the old men's league at Southside where it's late at night. I don't want to get hit in the face and I pull out. And I know it. I get that. But that's the job, right? That's the job you signed up for. So you have to create some contact in front of your guy there. He does it. And that's a tap-in for Pia Suter. That's an easy one.
Yeah. It's just like in one split decision and it costs your team the game. Right? Like I've said, hey, you don't want to ever see that. But if you see it with a minute and a half into the game, at least you have 58 and a half minutes to try to make up for it. Right? Like there's certain errors at certain times of the game. They're just more meaningful. And Bouchard's biggest issue early on, Strutty, is the timing of some of his errors and just the egregiousness of some of them.
And that was a big one. But on that play, Griggs, there is one that I would say as big as that.
Okay.
And do you remember in that intro with the guy where I'm like, who was the player I went after, the D-man, who was pretending to get in Sidney Crosby's lane?
Martin Marincin.
Martin Marincin. I've been trying to think about it. I almost texted you and Connor to remember. So there is a time where players, they don't want to get in the shooting lane. And what they do is they pretend to get into the shooting lane. They pretend they're getting there, knowing though, they're not in the shooting lane. So if you go back and watch that, the puck goes from below the goal line all the way up to Cole Brako, who's known as having a heavy shot. Jack Roslovic goes and moves toward the shooting lane, stops short of it. And that puck off of Pareko's stick, it doesn't go left or right. It hits on the middle of the net. So your job as a forward going out to that defender, that shooter in this case, is to A, get in the shooting lane so he blocked a shot, or B, get in the shooting lane to make that D-man have to shoot around you or miss the net. Roslovic looked like he had intention of getting there, but he, in my opinion, had no intention of getting there. So now that puck goes right through there. It hits Pickard, and there's a small rebound lane there. I felt he could have handled that differently. And then you have Bouchard pulling out. So three guys contribute to it. You know, we can do mistake A, B, or C, but in order it was Roslovic, the rebound, and then Bouchard. And if any one of them had handled it differently, that's no problem, right? If you get in the shooting lane by Roslovic, it's not a shot on goal. If he swallows up the rebound, it's no issue. If Bouchard boxes out, it's over. So three players contributed to a goal against. So imagine that. Three guys had to make the wrong play to get something that is a real no chance, Griggs, and turns into a really, it was a high scoring chance and really the best one that maybe St. Louis had in the third.
Oh, well, it was. I think they only had two shots on goal in that whole period, right? And so, and that's the thing. So the Oilers aren't giving up much, Strutz, but you defended a lot. Right now, 5-on-5, it looks very easy to defend the Edmonton Oilers.
It does. And, you know, and I it's funny because we've been through this now 3 years in a row. It's our third fall getting on talking about the Edmonton Oilers. And there's just not that desperation to get to the middle of the ice and to score and to make those types of things happen. And, yeah, you know what? I think there are times selling maybe just to bank it back to the D and the dealer shooting. I think there's a time for that. I have no problem with that. But also there's a time to walk out of the corner, attack the blue paint with the puck, you know, drive the far post, all those types of things that are also available to you. But those things at times hurt, or it's maybe it's a little bit too hard. So I don't see really desperation in the Oilers game. They got up 2-0. I think we got this one, and then you know, they don't. They weren't able to get that third goal, which kind of puts them over the top and buries them. And now here we are. You're sitting, well, we lost that one. You got a tough one against Dallas tonight, although slightly superior lineup there in Dallas. But it's just there's not the desperation on the offensive end just to get to the net or get to that puck that we've seen previously in the deep runs they've had in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, and I understand. But like I said earlier, if the theory is you're just going to flip a switch in the playoffs, they didn't flip a switch in the playoffs. Their first two games in the playoffs last year were awful. They gave up 28 high-danger chances. And if Quinton Byfield clears the puck, they might lose that series. Right? We're not talking about a Stanley Cup final. And so at some point, their switch has to flip here, Stretti. And here's the other thing I notice about this team. Like, are they allergic? Like, are you not allowed to celebrate goals in Edmonton anymore? Like, if you score goals, it's just like, okay, I tap you on the helmet. Like, are they not the most unexcited team you've ever seen on goal scoring?
Yeah, so, you know, there are some, you know, like, you think about the goal Matt Savoy scored the other day. I don't believe that he dreamt it up that way.
No.
That would be the way it goes in. But that's his first goal, and it should be a source of excitement for him, but energy for the team. And I didn't really think it got anyone kind of going. And,
No. You
know, the Oilers, there's no doubt they've played much more important games in the last 2 years than they are right now. But find a way to create energy. And a lot of times those are celebrating small things that happen over the course of a game. You know, a big hit or a great shift. And talk about it on the bench. Man, I love the great shift from you guys. Or someone scores a goal or a block shot. And that's how you get energy, because they look flat.
Oh, God,
right? They're
yes.
Flat. And not just the goal scoring. And your point is well made. I totally agree with that. So how do you get energy into this group? You know, a Knobloch's a pretty calm guy as well. And I like that. I actually would like that from my coach. But I was the opposite. I was talking, I was chatting, get everyone going, firing guys up. When you block a shot, I said, you know, that doesn't hurt. Like, all that kind of stuff, or it feels good. Like, just to get the energy going on the bench. And listen, I wasn't perfect, but finding a way to create energy on a group and trying to find a way to get excited about these games that, you know, you're not really excited about, that's the key. And you're looking at your young guys, you're looking at your new guys on the team, and then the older guys allowing that to happen or contributing to it when someone else starts.
Yeah. So my question is, starting, like, at some point, somebody in the room has to realize this. And because, you know, like, Connor Brown was supposedly a kind of a funny guy, and Corey Perry would say stuff. Like, somebody's got to speak up at some point here and be like, hey, even if I'm not the guy, I got to start doing something here to get guys, you know, mix in a smile every now and then.
Yeah, and just finding that energy. So, you know, to me, and I don't, you're in the room all the time, so I don't know much, but that Ike Howard seems to have a bit of this in him. You know, even at the draft, when he said, they commented on him, he said, I'm the best looking guy here. Like, I love that. I absolutely, you know how I feel about that. I love that. And, you know, I wonder what he's like. And then, is he given some space to maybe show some of that? Right? And not in a way that is going to be detrimental to the team, but I always loved it when the young guys would be around, because they're, everything's new. Every arena's new. Every restaurant in every city you go to, every hotel, and the first time they play against Sid, the first time they play against XYZ, like, it's all exciting. And I would want to sit close to them and hear what they have to say, then they'd ask you questions, and I love that. I fed off that. But you have to allow yourself as an older guy to be part of those conversations and, you know, kind of get jacked up about it. Oh, my mom and dad are here tonight. That's awesome. Even they've never seen you play in whatever, Dallas or whatever. Let's get some money on the board. Like, putting money on the board for no reason. And you can just start it, you know, $500 if we win for whatever. Like, if Strudwick gets a good haircut. Like, just, I love that creating that energy. And that doesn't get you the Stanley Cup, but it creates energy in your team at a time when you need it. And the Oilers are flat. They need it now.
Yeah, 100%. Jason Strudwick joins us. Struds, I know it's a small sample size, but what did you see from Regula, and what are you expecting now that he's going to get back in the lineup?
Well, you know, first off, health is a big thing for this guy, and staying healthy. You know, what's your saying? ability isn't the only availability. The best
ability is dependability or availability.
And there he goes. So, you know, he missed last year. He had a good start to the year, good training camp, but then he gets, you know, knocked around and hurt again. So I'm not saying it's his fault, but it's luck. Part of it's luck for sure. And if he can stay healthy, I think that's really important to him to be available to play and to establish himself as a player. So, you know, he moves, for a big guy, he moves pretty well. He's lanky and takes away space. And I really want to see him use those assets. So squeeze guys, use your speed, some skating and your size and length to take away opposition's room. You look at a lot of teams now, they want long-limbed, big defense and they can move around and skate because they take away time and space. Well, then do it. That's what he can do. Some physicality would be nice. You know, come back with a bit of chip on your shoulder. You know, the last time you played, you got rocked twice by the same guy.
Yeah.
No, I don't expect him to fight Kane, but I would sure be mad and coming out and looking like someone's going to pay for that, what they did to me, you know, or this guy did to me. So I'm hopeful that he can stay healthy and go in because I do believe he can move into being an upgrade on Stetcher, and then he's competing with Emerson. And the Oilers are better for it. But he's got to play, and he's got to continue to show he can improve and become what Bowman thinks he can be.
Jason Strutter joins us here on Sports 1440, Oilers Nation YouTube, Facebook, X, Instagram, as well as Sports 1440. Strutty, at what point does it's early become passe?
Well, I'm going to say when you start getting trouble in the standings. You know, you look at it like, who's really just taken off right now? And I know the Oilers have got, you know, a couple extra games played, and the win last night would have been huge for them. I think just for our points and buying them time. But they're kind of hanging around, and they're grabbing some points here and there. You know, I don't know if there's any team that's just running away from them. So, you know, once a team or two or three starts running away, now you got a bit of a problem because I'm guessing they still want to win the division. I'm giving them through the month at least, Griggs, as a collective. And then individually, that's where, you know, when do player A, B, or C, if players need to get going? And, you know, can Connor find the gear that we've seen before? Leon's been pretty good. And can some of these guys find the gear that they need? And if they can, well, great. But it's the individuals and then the collective. I think there's a bit of a different timeline for both.
Start, I have to ask you, what went through your range of emotions on Saturday night watching Game 7?
Oh, man, I just, you know, I had the Oilers game on and that game on side. I was in a hotel watching both, and I felt so bad for those guys. You could just tell how much fun they wanted to be. I don't know anyone who watched it wouldn't want to be in that clubhouse with those guys every day, you know, shagging top fives, hitting batting practice. Like, they're all just like such absolute beauties. And I thought, I felt so bad. I just kept saying, I got to get one more run. And then think about the guys that came up with people on base and unable to get home. Think about IKF. You know, I saw some breakdowns from guys saying his lead wasn't big enough, his secondary lead, whatever. Not that I know a lot about baseball, but maybe he could have done something different, get home. You think about the home run from Hoffman. You think about Trey Savage giving that home run. Like, that doesn't leave you, Greg. It's not like you and I go golf and you have a bad round and I beat you and you buy me two beers and I tell you, remember it. This is something that you might never get back again, ever. And I saw the video of Bo Bichette hugging Don Mattingly. Don Mattingly has been in the game forever. He'd never been in the World Series.
Yep.
A great player, not a Hall of Famer yet, but a great player, been around the game, never been to the finals. So I felt sick for those guys. Give Dodgers credit, man. They earned it. They earned that thing. It wasn't easy. But God, I don't know. Now it's like the offseason, what's going to happen, right? But in that moment, I felt terrible for them.
Do you think they re-signed Bichette?
Yeah, you know, I'm reading all the reports. What does he want? How does he think? And the one I saw is interesting. Just one guy, he's a pretty simple guy, right? He's not going to make any crazy requests or anything like that. I think he'll want to know what's going on with the direction of the team. And then, you know, what's the money the Blue Jays are offering? And then does someone come in with a crazy, crazy offer for him, which is possible. He's a really good player, really, really good player, especially a good hitter, what he did on one leg.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I want to believe he stays because of the relationship him and Vladdy have. What do you think?
Well, you know, I thought Cam Tate in his 2-minute warning yesterday had a pretty good point. He goes, everybody talks about, oh, you know, it's family and God, we're so close in here and everything's great. And then a month later, you leave because someone offers you $1 million extra a year. Well, you're already making $20 million or $19 million, whatever the number is going to be. Right. So, you know, and he brought up, he said, hey, McDavid, now he didn't sign long term, but he kept the exact same salary because, and McDavid, as he said in his interview, you can't be both. You can't want to say, I want to win and then take the most money. You can't really do both. Now, MLB is a little different because there's a salary cap, but we all know you can go over the salary cap, and obviously the Dodgers do and other teams do, but it's kind of interesting to me when you say, oh, we're so tight and everybody loves each other, but oh, well, you know what? Geez, these guys over here offered me, you know, an extra year or whatever. And you're like, well, do you really love it or you just love the money that much? So that to me is kind of a fascinating one. Like he's going to get paid and he's already made, you know, like the last years he was only making $11 million a year, right? Like I think he's doing fine. It's going to come down to, and there's no guarantee you can win, but if you want to have fun and come to the, every day is more enjoyable because I'm sure it's a grind, like any job, there's still days where it's a grind. And if you have more fun, then it's less of a grind, right? And that kind of comes back to my whole point study with the orders is, the season's a grind. And right now, like I find they make their season longer. There's no smiling, at least outwardly. Like, I don't know, maybe they're all super jokey and ha 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 behind closed doors, but I'd be surprised if a team was captain serious publicly, but super funny behind closed doors. Like, they got to loosen up a little bit in Edmonton. Like, you can't win the Stanley Cup in November. Just have fun with what you're doing and worry about the cup when the playoffs start.
Yeah, you know, and it's your point's really well made, and because there are going to be really tough stretches where you're like, there's nothing going right. Like, think back when Knobloch came, that was the darkest of times you could imagine, especially with the group they had. So finding some way of bringing some energy, I think, will be important. Just feeling good about what you're doing and enjoying it. It's a grind, man. It's awesome grind. Like, I love it. I don't regret it. The grind sometimes, and finding that energy. And maybe that's something Knobloch kind of help, and maybe give the guys leeway to go for it and say, hey, let's Connor, Darnell, like it's okay to show you're having fun out there, right? Like let it go, mm-hmm. let this happen, then give them permission.
Yeah, well, Stan Bowman mentioned at the start of the year in an interview on our show, he's like, we need to, you know what, we need. They talked about wanting to have a little bit more fun. I think they have a very serious group. And that's okay. And just because you're serious or have a smile and a laugh doesn't mean you're not serious. You don't want to win. It just means you realize that you can do both. You can have fun and still be incredibly committed and incredibly determined. Because right now, Struds, they say, and here's my last one for you, is I keep hearing after games, well, this is below our standard. Well, what the hell's your standard? Because it's whatever your standard is, you're not adhering to it. You're not adhering to the offensive zone 5-on-5. You're not adhering to it in the defensive zone. So, like, you can talk about your standard, but at what point, Strutty, do the players have to hold each other accountable that they're actually adhering to the standard?
Yeah, yes. If you look across the lineup, how many players do you think are acting up to their own personal standard as a player? You know, I think you'd be, through these first chunk of games, like, you'd be lucky to find 4.
Oh, yeah, not so many.
There's not many. So the whole group is... As individuals, as few of them have gotten to the level that we've seen. We haven't set the standard. They set the standard about the way they can play. And then you give a bit of a pass to the young guys. They're trying to figure that out. But I think that it's just so early. These guys have done so much together, this core. I have a hard time envisioning themselves giving it to each other just yet. I think there's some time to kind of work this out.
Okay.
And don't forget, Zach Hyman's coming back pretty soon. And I think that helps a lot.
Well, on paper, it should. I don't think there's any question that the return of Hyman's going to help in different areas, no question. So we'll see how it goes. And lastly, we did have a guy from Dallas on. He had mentioned the Bouchard slash and the Nurse play on Hintz that maybe Dallas will have some retribution tonight. They have beaten the Oilers twice, lost to the Oilers twice in a row in conference finals. So I'm sure there's some built-in animosity. You think there's any chance the Stars try to send a message to Edmonton tonight?
If you're an Oilers fan, you're praying that they do.
Yes.
You're praying that they do. Not because you want to see, you know, big brawls or anything, but bringing an emotion out. You know, sometimes a big brawl or a big fight just gets everyone going, gets everyone excited again. So Oilers fans, pray that someone does it. Now, the problem is there's no Jamie Benn, and I think he's the ringleader.
He's the guy.
Of that.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is it Jason Robertson is going to go and challenge Connor McDavid at center? But Greg, they would be doing the Oilers a favor. Yeah. So pray, Oilers fans, that someone does something and they get it going.
Yeah, I totally agree with you that it would be great to see. Stridey, enjoy the game. We'll see if the Oilers can find some momentum tonight in Dallas. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, buddy. Talk to you later.